They were taping Men in Society with the introduction to Parshas Kedoshim. And the first pasuk begins as a statement to Kol Adas B'nai Israel. That phraseology only appears one other place in the entire Torah. And it's an appropriate name of a parsha. You'll remember it. Vayakel. You get it? Vayakel, Kehila. Bring everyone together. There is a mitzvah at the end of the Torah called Mitzvahs. I'm talking about HaKehel. Mitzvahs HaKehel, where you gather everybody together. And a parsha that exhorts the people to be Kedoshim, right? To be holy, which is not such a simple terminology to define. We will not be able to define it today. We'll have to spend the entire parsha and then come back and try to explain in Hebrew what Kedoshim means. Why is a woman who forfeits her body for men called a Kedesha? Right? What does that have to do with Kedusha? Is it just a satirical name? What do we call it then? Right? Alright, so this message that you are to be Kedoshim have to be delivered to Kol Adas B'nai Israel. Not just Daber El Adas B'nai Israel, or not Daber El B'nai Israel. There's so much extra that usually appears when Moshe is told to deliver a message. You got it? Not just Daber El Adas B'nai Israel. Kol Adas B'nai Israel. V'matar Lehem Kedoshim to you. Now, you remember Korach's revolt was that he said, Kol Ha'am Kulam Kedoshim. We're all holy. So why did a Kohanim get all these extra perks? Gemara says that Korach was moved to ask this by his wife. Right? But he says, you're a Levi. What are you getting for that? Right? And she convinced him to make this whole Timis against Moshe based on the fact that we're all holy. Kedoshim to you, isn't Korach right? So the fact is that by the time Korach was speaking, although there are some psukim otherwise in Sefer Devarim, he's dead wrong. Right? Because, and right before Vayikach Korach, there's a pasuk that we say every morning, we just said about it recently, it says, L'man tiz kiruv ha-sesemes kol mitzvosai, what's coming next? Yisem kedoshim elohechem. Korach is wrong. Nowhere in the Torah does it say, again I say at least up to that point, Kol ha'am kulam kedoshim. Can anyone tell me the nuance I'm trying to bring into this discussion? It says in Shmos, Vatem tiyuli mamlechas kodim v'goy kadosh. It says in Vayikra, Kedoshim to you. And it says in Vamidbar, Yisem kedoshim elohechem. And Korach is wrong when he says, Kol ha'am kulam kedoshim. How? There's a technical difference between the lashon that Korach uses. Come on, think it over. Korach says Kol Ha'am Kulam Kedoshim.
Oh, he says Be'yit, but it's all in different.
Yes, terms. We're told in these three places in Shmos, Be'yit, and Bamidbar, we're told Kedoshim to you. Get it? It says strive to be holy. You're not holy. You're not born holy. Only insofar as you're Tzelem Elokim, but some Tzelem Elokims have done terribly unholy things by using their free will. Right? The determination of whether you're holy is in your will. Kedoshim Tihiyu. Vatem Tihiyu Liman, let us go in and go Kedosh. Ve'yisem Kedoshim Elohechem. You get it? But Korach made the mistake of just saying, Kolom, Kolom, Kedoshim. We're all holy. Well, Korach, you're not doing a very holy thing right now. Okay. So that is that's the start of why this is told to Kol Adas B'nai Israel. But let's read Rashi first. Everyone have it? Look at Rashi. Tabero Kol Adas B'nai Israel. Malameid Shinomra Parasha Zu Behakehel. Mipnei Sherov Gufei Torah Teluyin Bo. Very crucial Rashi. This teaches that this parsha was told to the Jews
beHakehel. The whole parsha?
No, this whole parsha is Kedoshim. In fact, we'll see some in Haggim of some shuls that they stood for all the parshas Kedoshim, even if they sat for the rest of laning of the year. You hear this again? What are the places where we tend to stand for reading of Torah?
Sirat
HaDibrot. Now, some shuls also stand for the Shira. So, the Rambam wrote a Tshuva saying that it's not wise to stand for one part of the Torah if you're not going to stand for the whole Torah. There's not one part of the Torah that's more important than any other part. But in terms of our minhag, it's because that the Aseret HaDibrot encapsulates the whole Torah, the Yerushalmi says. So Parshas Kedoshim has this aspect to it, okay, as we'll see shortly. Alright? So, it's Melamed Shenomra Parsha Zuba HaKehel is understood, you see on the page, Devarim Lamed Aleph, Yud through Yud Gimel. There's a four psukim where the Torah commands every 7 years where you don't have a Chagah Asif because the year before was a Shemitah year, right? So there's no gathering. Instead, what you have is a gathering of people. And the holiday of Sukkot becomes a place where more than the inordinate amount of people come to gather for this mitzvah to hear words of Torah after the Shemitah year. You get it? Okay. So that's called HaKehel. Lashon Kehila. Gather them together. So was Parshas Kedoshim read every year by HaKehel. Why was it read this way? Sherov Gufei Torah Tuluyin Ba. Because Rov Gufei Torah are encompassed in this parsha. So look at number 2 on the page. Make sure that you always have this chuveret with you. Alright? Number 2 asks, what does Rashi mean by Rov Gufei Torah? The words literally mean many, or the majority, more likely means many, essential teachings of Torah appear in Parshas Kedoshim. That's why it was told to call Adas Ben Israel. Okay, in what way are these essential teachings of Torah? So, the book is called Torat Kohanim. The Medrash Halacha to Vayikra is also called Torat Kohanim. To Shmos, it's called the Mechilta, and we saw two Mechiltas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Sifra, or Torat Kohanim, is the Medrash Halacha to Vayikra. Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. If you see just a statement made in the Sifra that is not attached to a name, it is Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Okay? Look what it says in the Sifra. Daber kol adas bnei Yisrael v'matar lehem kedoshim siyu. Melamed shaparsha nomra b'hakel. Umikol makom nomra b'hakel mipnei shirov gufei Torah tluyim bo. So now we see where Rashi got this from, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So how is the Sifra
the Sifra is the source of Rashi's statement. Sifra is a Tanaic work. Medrash Halacha to Sefer Vayikra. Okay? Right? So I didn't really get much help from the Sifra over what Rashi means. Rashi just took the words out of the Sifra. Got it? I want to introduce you to a commentary called the Malbim. See on the side I wrote the word Malbim. Meir Leibish Ben Yechiel Michal. It was a 19th century commentary to the entire Tanakh. To our knowledge, he's the only person of note to write a commentary to the entire Tanakh. Rashi did not. Rashi did not complete Iyov, and Lechora, he did not write a commentary to Divrei Hayamim. The Malbim wrote a commentary to the entire Tanakh. Right? Radak seemed to have as well, but we do not have his commentary to Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvarim.
Oh.
We just have his commentary to Bereishis.
But the rest of Tanakh he does?
Oh yeah, only Neviim and Tzuvim. The Mitzudos, where we have commentary to Neviim and Tzuvim, didn't write on the Torah. Okay. We don't have Ibn Ezra's commentary to large swatches of Neviim and Tzuvim. Okay. The Malbim wrote a commentary to the Neviim and Tzuvim, fine. But his commentary to the Torah, especially the last four books of the Torah, is technically speaking not a commentary to the Torah. It's a commentary to the Medrash HaLacha first. He felt in the 19th century that not enough Jews were studying Medrash HaLacha, and I doubt if anyone in this room ever opened up. You might have opened up a Talmud, a Sefka, but I doubt if anyone here ever opened up a Megillah, a Sifra, or a Sefrei. These are Medrash HaLacha that are written directly on the Pasuk. We did some with Eben Ivri. We did some Mechilkos. The Malbim feared that with the rise of Reform, he's a vehement opponent of Reform. There's a lot of interesting stories about him as a result. But he thought that the study of the Medrash HaLacha would bolster an acceptance of the traditional way to understand Torah. I'm not sure if he succeeded or not, because as I said, even in all the yeshivas, they don't study the Torah from the standpoint of the Medrash HaLacha. If you want to know the laws of Pesach from the Medrash HaLacha, you have to study Mechilta and Bo, right? Mechilta and Shvatim, Mechilta and Pesisa, where it mentions Pesach. You have to study the Sifra in Emor. You have to study the Sifrei in Parshas Balos, which mentions Pesach Sheni. You have to study the Sifrei in Re'eh, which mentions Pesach also. You know what I'm saying? It's difficult. So Rebbe took all those teachings and put them all in one place that was convenient for Mishnayos himself. Right? Okay, when a Mishnah, let's say, mentions Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, and there's the Stam Sifra that contradicts that, that's going to be a Rabindu in the Talmud. How can Rabbi Yehuda say this when we see in the Sifra it says that it's not Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda? Tomorrow's job is to try to answer up those apparent contradictions. So the Malbib wrote a commentary to the Sifra's statements on the Torah. So technically speaking, he's not a parish to the Torah, he's a parish to the Medrash HaLacha. You got it? The same way that the Torah Tzmima, you'll know what he does, right? Because we're going to see him often in this paper. The same way that the Torah Tmima is not a commentary to the Torah, it's a commentary to the Gemara's commenting on the Torah. All good? So let's look at what the Malbim writes about this. Okay. Right? The Malbim is the source to the left. The Sifra is that box that is Rashi's source. Okay. The Malbim, who is a profound darshan, says that Gufei Torah divides mitzvahs into two parts. This is the crux of this long paragraph here, and it makes it clear in what I underlined towards the end. You see it? And he says, get this, I don't usually do this kind of thing, but let's just show what he says. He says that every mitzvah has a guf and a neshama. I know it's getting a little hokey. The guf of tzitzis is a garment that has some fringes at the end, right? The guf of tefillin is some kind of leather strap. You all get what I'm saying? There's a guf of a lulav that has a palm branch, yep. But every mitzvah also has a neshama.
Did you say that every mitzvah has a guf, though?
What?
Did you say that every mitzvah has a guf?
Yeah, every mitzvah has two parts to it. A guf, which is physical aspect of performing this thing.
Same as the dam.
The sitter, the words, the lips, the neshama are the things that this mitzvah creates. Things that emanate from this mitzvah. Right? Our job is the guf. The malach may even understand the neshama of the mitzvah. That might explain, by the way, that enigmatic Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, where the angels want to keep the Torah up in Shemayim. Remember that Gemara? Ashut Snahut Chol HaShemayim. Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Rav Chaim asked, what were they asking for? They knew they don't have parents to honor. They knew they don't have business to be honest. They knew they don't kill and steal and commit adultery. So they knew they weren't taken out of Egypt to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. What were they thinking? Right? You understand the question? So they know the neshama of the mitzvahs, which they can comprehend. We find it difficult to comprehend that part. I see a pair of petzitzis. I can wear it. It's my uniform. I'll wear it. Right? Yeah, so, but I don't really understand the neshama of the mitzvah so much. Right? The Malach understands the neshama, but he may not understand the guf. God, how are we getting this by wearing this linen or this wool garment or whatever? I don't get that. Yeah, so the Malach says, God, keep the Torah up here. We're perfect. We'll keep the neshama of your Torah. God says, no, if I give it to human beings, they'll keep the goof of the Torah, and the memeil of the neshama will be observed too. And the angels say, yeah, but they're so imperfect. What if they don't keep the Torah? So Moshe said, I'll teach them, and there will always be some Jews who keep this Torah. Right? There'll always be a lot of Jews who don't, but okay. The Malbim says that the parsha, where the goof of the Torah is most readily understood, is Parshas Kedoshim. Now we have to go out and prove that. You with me? Okay. The Parsha where the goof of Torah means that in order to appreciate this, we have to better get down and nitty gritty of what these mitzvahs are saying. Right? Okay. She says, Ulam pirish zu sheruba gufei Torah Perush mitzvahs rabos shitzorich ledatam ulekaimam kefi haguf vehapshat kulam b'shoveh. So he suggests that the guf of the Torah is the pshat of the mitzvah. The neshama of the Torah is the deeper drash of the mitzvah. Okay, fine, fair enough. Right. Look, the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim often tried to explain, let's say, it's a Shemitah. Is there anything wrong with saying there's an element of Shemitah that, talk to me?
That's holy.
That just wants to give the land a little rest once in a while, because if you keep working the land year after year after year without a rest, you will create what's called a dust bowl. What happened in America in the 30s is that the Great Depression happened to coincide with just such an overuse of the land in the breadbasket that just there was a bad combination with a drought, and we had a lot of starvation. So if you keep using the land, working the land, it stops producing after a while. The same way we need a rest, the land needs a rest. So the Rambam wrote that in the Moreh Nevuchim. People said, Chas v'shalom, the Torah is not a horticulturist guy that's here to tell us how to grow. Let the farmer tell you that. Not the Torah is not interested in that. The purpose of Shemitah is to let you know that God is in charge of the land, and you should inculcate vatranut. Right? Vatranut, we talked about that in Mishpatim. About not charging interest, create an openness, a giving nature that is willing to follow the words of Torah. A person who doesn't charge interest will not have cheating weights, right? So, and other people want to say Shemitah teaches other things. So the answer is, hey, why can't the Torah have a guf and a neshama simultaneously? Those who say that shellfish was only forbidden at a time where these were crustaceous animals and they couldn't go out way into the ocean and they're very, very diseased and they're sick near the shore and those are the ones that couldn't make it out. So if you eat those, you're going to get sick. If you eat pork, you're going to get trichinosis. But now that we know how to treat them and take it, right? That's how progressive observers of Torah. And they want to keep some element of Torah, right? So they want to keep it on their terms. And the Torah will always change and be reformed until it's not kept at all, right? I submit to you that that's what Korach wanted to do. That's how the Rav explained it. Korach saw the blue tzitzis. Remember his rebellion? And said, if the whole garment is blue, what do we need fringes for? Right? Because when he asked, what is this blue? Moshe answered, a little darker than that, Moshe answered, the blue reminds us of where the sky meets the sea at the horizon, and that's the color of God's holy throne, Sefer Yechezkel. Kilivnat HaSapir. and in Shmos actually, Parshas Mishpatim, the end of Mishpatim, that the heavens, the Tchelis reminds us of God's throne. So Korach says, that's beautiful, I love that. But what do I have to do with fringes? If the garment is blue, it doesn't make sense to have to put fringes on it. And Moshe says, look, what you say is common sense, but God told me it has to be fringes. Why did Moshe come down so hard on Korach?
He led a rebellion.
But Moshe knew that if he offers this Ketores, they're all going to die. Why didn't he tell him, guys, don't do it because you're going to die? Why didn't he warn him? So Moshe had to come down very hard on this because Korach's revolt, which is what the Rav called the common sense rebellion, was saying that I want to keep the mitzvah on my terms. Whatever the mitzvah means to me, that's how I'm going to keep it. So you can say, to Korach's son, it's a blue handkerchief. To Korach's grandson, it's a sapphire ring. Why not? Sapphire ring will always remind me of God. That's my tzitzis. Blue handkerchief, that's my tzitzis. I agree that we should all have the color blue to remind ourselves of God's holy throne, and I love God, and I believe in Him, and I. But I want to have what reminds me of that on my terms. Better yet, why not just have a picture of what the Gemara creates of the sea crashing against the horizon? Have a picture of that, right? Do you know that there was a reform shul in the beginning of the 20th century in America that instead of having the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, what did they do? What? They had a woman crying at the bima, crying for the souls of all the people in the room to make themselves better. Something we all want to do on Rosh Hashanah. Why did they do that?
Isn't that what the shofar represents?
The Gemara said the shofar represents a mother crying. Why do it with a shofar? Who's getting crying from that? Cry, real cry. Get an actress and cry. That's what they did. Instead of shofar, what a moving experience. People left the shul that day saying, I've never had a Rosh Hashanah like this. Right? The descendants of most of the people who are in that room today are Christians. Okay? Now, I don't know that empirically.
You can say that.
They're either Christians or Balei Tshuva. No, that's the statistic. It's hardly any two second or third generation Reform Jews in America. Because their descendants are either Balei Tshuva or they're quick, right? So I'm just saying is that Moshe knew the danger of everyone wanting to do the mitzvahs on their own terms, right? So the mitzvah has its guf and its neshama, and this sounds at the core of it like some kind of polemic against Reform, which the Malbim does all the time, by the way. That the mitzvah has to be kept in its pshat. Has to be kept in its formulation as it appears in the Torah. If it's not giving you that feeling, then you're right, the mitzvah is missing something. But it doesn't mean don't do the mitzvah. Okay? So that is the Malbim's explanation of Rov Gufei Torah Tzluyin Ba. As now we have to learn Parshas Kedoshim and show this. But the Parshas Kedoshim is given to this, to explaining the goof of the mitzvah more than other Parshios. Got it? Next, B. Look at, now I want to introduce you to this parish. It's David Zvi Hoffman. It is acknowledged that he has the penultimate commentary to Sefer Vayikra. He wrote it in the 19th century. He lived in Germany. He wrote also Shalos Teshuvos Malamed Lahoil. He was that rare, rare accepted individual, both in the Torah world as well as in the scholarly world. His book is indeed polemical in nature. He's trying to resolve some of the issues of the day. Right? This is what he writes in his parish. His parish to Baker is readily available now. He has also a parish to Bereshis and Devarim, which are a little harder to get your hands on. Okay? Take a look at what he writes, source B, under 2. The parsha shelafaneinu nitnim kol atzibuyim shel aseres hadibros bederech shoneh b'miktsas. Ve'al pi rov b'tzura mekutzeres, kifi she'ir al zeh kvar Rav Levi b'Medrash Rabba. Right, so it's not an original parish. He quotes Vayikra Rabba as saying that Parshas Kedoshim contains all 10 of the Aseres Hadibros. Just as Aseres Hadibros is recited to the whole Kahal and we stand up and give a clap, very important person gets that aliyah, and we make a big deal about it, right? So too for Parshas Kedoshim. It's such a public event because it has a Seres HaDibros in it. And he goes about to see where they are. Okay? Got it? The one that's quite clever is look at Lo Tachmod. Well, the first nine are very, very clear. Very clear. It's obvious. You don't have to darshan. But number 10, where is Lo Tachmod? When we get up to that pasuk, we'll explain why. You don't covet yourself, do you? Oh, I love that car I just got. I gotta get another one. Right? And I'm saying, oh, look at that apartment I live in. That's amazing. Oh. You covet other people. But if you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll be happy for him. You see, there's a machlokas we've shown them, the Rambam and the Ravid, what you're over if you covet. Is there anything to be over if you just covet in your heart? It depends maybe on what you do to get it. Right? Do you remember the first day of our class when we did Ve'ela Levava Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem? And the Medrash said Ve'ela connects to Har Sinai. Right? I know it's part of the Torah, but you might think that since there's a parallel in cuneiform law, that this is just another law code like all the others. Right? No, this is from Sinai. Got it? Everyone understand that bob, the need for that bob? But what is the last thing they heard at Har Sinai? Tachmod. Tachmod is a fundamental building block. First of all, of a capitalistic society. That you appreciate that he has his, I have mine. Remember, that's why, what mission in Pirkei Avos did we spend so much time talking about as a result of this? Shali, shalcha, 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 shali, shali, shalcha, shalcha, remember all that? Right?
Socially.
Okay. So I have, when it says, Ki rov gufei Torah tzluyin ba, I know what that means. It's like Aseres HaDibros. He quotes it in the name of Bereshit Vayikra Rabba. It's another, Arishon mentions this as Ibn Ezra. See, I wrote Bechein Ibn Ezra. Oh, then others do. Okay. See Torah Tmima? Right? Torah Tmima gives two answers to this question. Tzorech Lomar, you see in the base there? Look at Torah Tmima. Tzorech Lomar HaKavana Sherov HaDinim Shebaparsha Zu Sheyachim LiYidiyat Kol Hamon Ha'am B'Darkei HaChayim K'moshi Yisba'er L'Inyan HaMayein. What the Torah means, what the Sifra means when it says Rov Gufei Torah, what is Gufei Torah? Is that the mitzvahs in Parshas Kedoshim are readily understandable to the masses, anyone who wants to look into it. You may not get it right away, but you'll find it more readily than other Parshas. Be'achdorecha kamocha, don't covet, don't take vengeance, don't bear grudges. Don't put the stumbling block before the blind. You know, the simple gufei Torah that people will appreciate. V'lo kemo shar mitzvah she'en ha'yochid oseh oseh b'liho ra'as rabu more. But other mitzvahs, in order to observe, you need psach, you need a more, you need to learn it. But in Parshas Kedoshim, they're so readily understood by the masses. Okay? Does this sound a little like the Malbim? You don't need the neshama, the rov gufei Torah. The mitzvahs in this parsha are gufim. You can really understand it. I wouldn't put tzitzis in Parshas Kedoshim, right? But whatever is in Parshas Kedoshim, so readily understood. Okay. And the Torah Tmima seems tzitzis compared to Torah Tmima's first answer with Malbim. See that? Somewhat similar. Look at the Torah Tmima's second answer. Gam yesh lomar al yedei al das adrash, right? Kavonas haloshon shirov gufei Torah tluyin ba mipnei tichsiv beparasha zu hamitzvah behavto echa kamocha sheoleha amru zuhi kol haTorah. any parsha that would contain in it V'ahavta l'recha kamocha is Rov Gufei Torah. Hear it? Any parsha that has in it V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, that's got to be a Rov Gufei Torah parsha. Because it's the goof of the Torah. Remember the story in the Masechta Shabbos where the guy is standing on one foot and he wants Hillel to convert him? What does he tell him? Our Torah is what's hateful to you, don't do to others. When we get up to V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, we'll analyze that Gemara in a very good time. What's hateful to you, don't do to others. Right? That's our Torah. Now go learn its commentary. Go learn the rest. So the Mashiach asks, what, are you kidding me? Kashrus, Taras, Mishpacha, Shabbos, and all the holidays are commentaries to V'ahavta l'recha kamocha? How is that? No, what Hillel was telling him is that you need Torah principles and Torah values in order to fully appreciate and understand every mitzvah, even V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. It's a little different than what the Torah Tzmim is saying here. He says these mitzvahs are so easy to understand. Right? Not so much, not so pashut. You need laws to teach people how to give tzedakah. You hear that? Tzedakah? What's going to be so obvious to give tzedakah? Right? No, you need Torah to explain how to do it. Torah values will tell you how to better give tzedakah. Right? So we, with number two, have answered the question in four different ways. What did Rashi mean when he said, Rov Gufei Torah Tluyin Ba? Malbim, Ibn Ezra / David Tzvi Hoffman, and two answers of the Torah Tzvi Hoffman, the first of which seems to resemble somewhat the Malbim. And I wrote under that, you see, Bekama Mekomos Reinu Taryag Mitzvos Nechlolos Bein Aseres Adibros. In a few places in Chazal, Bamidbar Rabba has it, the Sadiq on this lists them, shows how all the mitzvahs, which ones fall under which 10 categories. And it's found in Yerushalmi Shkolim that says that when Moshe actually spoke the Aseres HaDibros, he gave all the Klolim and Pratim of the other mitzvahs in between. Okay, got it. Look at, sometimes I just ask a question. Number three, how does Ibn Ezra understand Kol Adas Yisrael? That's why you need your Mikros Gedolos. Okay. Ibn Ezra writes, L'hachnis es hageirim ba'avur shehem nisarim ala arayos ki Yisraelim. V'tam la'kir zosa parashah harei arayos shelo yechshivu ki ba'avur shemiris arayos l'badam yamdu ba'aretz. Amar lahem shegam yesh mitzvah sacheros im lo tishmurum tigur shu min aretz. The same aseres hadbrim on his kareem kihena ashara al avodah zara achar shemarki kadosh ni Hashem. It's pashut, right? The reason why Ibn Ezra says this is told to Kol Adas Yisrael is to include geirim. I spoke about that before, beginning of this class, right? Geirim have to be included in this because they're also kadoshim. You don't have to be born Jewish to come to this kiddush. Otherwise, you're possibly called a racist. It's not a question of who your mother is. It's a question of the choice you make. Okay. Someone who's not keeping Torah and insists that a Jew only marry a Jew, I think might be racist. The reason why we want a Jew to marry a Jew is that we'll be bringing up a household in Torah. So Ibn Ezra says that this is to include Geirim. That's why the Kol Adas Yisrael comes to include Geirim. And he wants to gather them together. This is a crucial point. It's not related to Kol Adas Yisrael, though. Is that Parshas Acharemos just ended with a list of sexual Yisurim. Scientifically speaking, although I can't imagine that anyone there could actually know this, but we know now that sometimes in Assyrian records where they talk about hundreds of thousands of their soldiers dying in battle of an unknown, mysterious plague. Right? You know the story of Lachem Beis where 180,000 of them were camped around Yerushalayim, and by the morning they were all dead. to give you the simple pshat. It says in the Tanakh, the angel of death killed him. Simple pshat, the Assyrians had tens of thousands of whores servicing their soldiers in battle. They forced women from all other neighboring places. And their own women. They had no shortage of volunteers for this. Right? And they serviced the men. They went around about the men. And they violated women in the wherever they conquered also. So, you know, one bad virus. Right? What was the name of the movie where we're...
Contagion.
Three quarters of the world's population was killed because a bat ate a piece of banana that fell in a pigsty that a sick pig ate, and the guy who slaughtered the pig didn't wash his hands, and spreads it took about a year to figure out how this strand of, you know, to start inoculating people against it. So it doesn't take too long to spread something like this, and the most... The way that spreads it most, some can be, I've spread like this particular movie, I believe it was even spread in airborne. Spit on someone and get it. But some other diseases, as we well know, are much more readily transferred sexually. Right? So here's the Torah telling us, keep to these proper laws. If you violate these laws, what affects them will affect you. But I tell you, the Jews will always survive because I know there will always be a remnant of Jews who hold these laws. Right? This is a scientific explanation for why there are no more Moabites, Philistines, Edomites, Arameans, and many other nations that existed at our time when we were around, and we're still here. Right? But the Menedrin warns us, don't think that alone is going to be your salvation. Get it? He says, because right before Kedoshim, we had a list of sexual prohibitions. Don't think that alone is your salvation. He says, there's lots of other things that make you holy, and we're going to get into it right away. Okay?
How is that connected to Gerim?
It's not. I told you, I predicated this point by saying this is not connected to Kol Adash in Israel. Right? Kol Adash in Israel is adding Gerim, and then he continues to say, although you might argue that a ger's reward for not eating lobster is much greater than mine, right? Because I have no title for it. He does. But the ger might have this, the title for Gilei Raos. That was also one of the If I would give you 10 examples of how the Torah drastically changed the lifestyle of a Ben Noach, right? With me? I might say that the Arayos is the greatest change. In fact, when someone wants to convert to Judaism, I tell them, okay, if you're a Catholic, let me tell you how different Judaism is than Catholicism. We don't believe God that took on a physical form. We don't believe that God changed His Torah. We don't believe that the original sin and things like that. Right? But it's very likely that your life will change most drastically when it comes to Arayos. How you dress, your life will have to change most. Now, because of kashrus, lots of it, especially in New York, there's lots of food available. Holidays, everybody's got holidays, right? But when it comes to Arayos, now we comport ourselves in this fashion, is how your life is going to change most drastically. That might be the connection. Okay, we'll stop with that.